4HKX, mobile.
4HKX, 10-4CHY.
I haven't talked to you in a while.
A little busy at work.
I have to get you last train.
The same thing on you that time.
I think something might be going on with the repeater.
Because you was crystal clear the first time, and then you were in and out that second time. So, yeah, not sure. You sounded better that go around, but I was saying I'm sitting here eating. Some call it bait. I call it dinner. It's chicken livers, over.
It's bait.
Get that a lot.
I don't know, my very first job was Kentucky Fried Chicken, and since then, chicken livers have just not set well.
I got a tip, anybody out there in radio land listening to it, some of the best chicken livers here in town is at the Sphinx convenience store over.
I haven't been able to touch them. I just, even just thinking about it now.
Troubled with you. Here we are talking about food again, and I'm hungry. And I probably wiped you out, Patrick. Go ahead.
Good to hear you. I was just saying, since I was 16 and my first job was Kentucky Fried Chicken, I haven't been able to even stomach been around chicken livers.
In Seneca, but I tell you, if there are any, like, if all the rest of the Sphinx are like this one, they've probably got the best around.
Next Wednesday lunch there at the Sphinx in Easley, we'll get some chicken livers.
I ain't eating chicken livers.
Patrick's not going to know if they're the best around or not. They had other things. I was sitting there waiting on mine yesterday, and they had several sandwiches there that sounded pretty good, too. And, you know, of course, they got, like, chicken fingers and stuff like that, too.
Any of their chicken. I have bought a couple of their wraps. They've got a buffalo chicken. Well, I guess I have tried their chicken. Not their fried chicken. I've eaten their buffalo chicken wrap. It's in the refrigerator there. It's pretty good.
Their sandwiches throughout the years. The spicy chicken sandwich is probably the one I like the best.
Once it caught my attention yesterday, I just remembered it was a chicken ranch grilled cheese, and it's a hot sandwich, so they cook them and then put them up in the little warming bin to serve, you know, semi-fresh.
Would have expected that you would have been around some when you were young, when they slaughtered some chickens on the farm. We went through that. We put them in a big pot of boiling hot water and plucked the feathers off of them and clean them up real good and have them for dinner that night.
Been there, done that. I took the hatchet to its neck.
I was around a bit of that myself. My grandparents had a big farm, and we had a lot of fresh chicken over there.
Like it. It was a little bit of work, but it was worth it.
Around slaughtering our own chickens, slaughtering our own pigs, and killing the cow and hauling it to the market to get it slaughtered.
We did, you know, of course, chickens on site and hogs, but yeah, for the beef, we'd load them up in the trailer and haul them to the butcher. I can't remember what they call them now.
Off of Fars Bridge Road here, Patrick, White Horse and Fars Bridge, and there was a pig farm not far, and they had a slaughterhouse there, and that's where we would take our cows. But not much of it was wasted. We ate about everything on it.
4CHY, yeah, we'd towards the end of the cow season, I guess you'd call it, with what we had in the freezer. We'd have, friends that have a cookout, and we didn't have no more ground beef, so I'd bring steaks, and people thought we were the rich kids, but that was far from the truth, over.
Realize that was you. I thought you were somebody else until you gave me your call or put your call out there. I'm sorry about that. I called you Roger. Goodness. And your signal seems stronger tonight than it usually is.
Make sure I got it there. And now it sounds fine. I don't, just throughout the day, the repeater's just been in and out. And I've been in normal places where I know where I'm at. So I don't know. Maybe they're working on something.
I don't know if they ever diagnosed it or not. I hadn't heard anything in a while. I've not been able to attend any meetings or anything. I caught the one meeting on Zoom, and that was pretty neat. And I joined, and then they've, I guess they've been, IRL since then. Over.
Meeting got canceled. This one here got canceled because of Labor Day.
I'm sorry, I doubled Patrick.
Sorry, go ahead.
Commenting on, it looks like they don't meet at the Red Cross building anymore.
The last one was at Tanner's Orange, and then, August was Tanner Orange, and then September's was canceled because of Labor Day. That's what I was saying a minute ago.
They don't meet at the Red Cross building anymore?
Falling around that time.
Yeah, wouldn't have been in town for that one anyway, so.
Where's Tanner Orange or whatever it is?
You can tell them better than I can.
A little bit at the beginning of that, Keith. Tanner's Orange is on South Pleasantburg Drive near the Greenville Tech College campus. Pleasantburg and Ferris Road, it's right close to that.
That's not as bad. At least it's not in Greenville or the other side of Greenville. But yeah, that's still a long drive for me, so I don't know how many in-person ones I'll make. Go ahead, Patrick.
Pretty good ways down there for me, too. But I'll try to make them when I can, but I don't know how many.
Why they don't meet at the Red Cross building anymore?
Like I said, I caught the one on Zoom, and that was great, and haven't been able to catch one since. Been real busy at work, and then, of course, the late Labor Day, Mom always wants to get the family together as best she can, and so holidays are pretty much been either in Savannah or at the farm.
Not sure why they don't, but I'm going to wager a guess it's because Tanner Orange has got more room.
Thing that they used to do on the third Saturday of every month.
Red Cross, as far as I know.
I took my original, well, it wasn't at the Red Cross, it was the City Hall, the old City Hall. There was a parking garage and a basement. Downtown Greenville, right off Main Street. That's where they used to meet years and years ago, and that's where I took my first license test.
Tell of the old guys that had to go to Atlanta to the SEC field office or whatever. I remember people talking about that back then, but I never had to do that.
Sitting in my living room.
Work.
Sitting at the kitchen table. You got to turn the camera on the laptop, and some of them want you to turn on the camera on your phone so they can see both sides. Make sure you're not doing anything on the computer you're not supposed to be doing. But for me, I was sitting in front of a big mirror, so it worked out great. I didn't have to do anything. You got to show them around the room, make sure there's nobody else with you, that kind of stuff. Nothing that was real difficult.
CHY, yeah, I took both of mine over at Pickens Library or Central Library? I believe it's Central Library, isn't it?
Did you do that with, was it a club or somewhere up in North Carolina that did it over the computer?
I did it through hamstudy.org, and I'd have to go back and look up. They had a list of people that were authorized to do it, and you just had to register for it and pay your money. They actually still do it online, so it's a pretty neat little feature that benefit that come out of COVID to help people get their license that can't travel, you know, people that might not be able to get out of the house to go travel to somewhere.
Alone, didn't you? You did all the research by yourself, didn't have any help?
Roger that. When I first got my license, I didn't know another ham at all. I mean, not one.
For sticking to it. Well, that's commitment there. Go ahead, Keith, N4ZLK.
Same for me. I kind of got into it because of the drone stuff. Doing FPV, technically you have to have a ham license to broadcast videos, so that's the reason I got it. And, yeah, walked in over there because used to listen to the net here. And heard them talking about, you know, giving testing sessions. It's like, well, I'll go give it a try. And so that was the first hams I actually met, and it ballooned from there. Over.
I might have been off this repeater. So for me, it opened up a whole new world. Because I still don't know any up here in North Carolina close to where I'm at.
Friends on ham radio, so... It's been rewarding, and I've learned a lot too, and I've probably forgotten a lot, but I've learned more than I've taught anybody else.
Can definitely relate to that. Yeah, just listening to the rag chews and stuff after the net, it's usually pretty informative. You can, no matter how much you can always pick up something else. Don't you?
I don't care what you're doing, as long as you try to learn something along the way, even if you've done it before, you learn an easier or better way, you still, that's far better than what you're doing. And as far as the knowledge on this repeater, it's unbelievable.
Listening to Dave W4DJW and Eric, I don't know his call, but listening to them talk about setting up the Raspberry Pi for the Apers, that was really interesting.
That's what I miss about being in office, because when I was working here, I'd have the radio on in the background, and when something like that would start up, I could actually listen to it, because that sounds interesting to me, too.
It's interesting and stuff like that. That's why a lot of times I have to turn the radio down where I can't hear it in the back of the truck, or I forget that I'm supposed to be paying the customer's attention.
Myself doing that at home sometimes. I have to turn the radio off so that I pay attention to what I should be.
Roger, and I'm kind of pretty flexible with work anyway, so yeah, I could, you know, when conversations start up like that, I'd at least come in here and turn up the radio and, you know, if there was something interesting that I had some interjection in, I'd get on. But, yeah, I put in enough hours there. They're not too concerned about me not working during the day.
But that guy I work for, man, he's a slave driver. I don't know what to do with him.
Munch, I was going to say the same thing about you.
I don't have to answer to him. You know, I get direction from elsewhere, so that's I just go with that. I don't know if I have the motivation to do what you do. I'm sure I could when it comes down to paying the bills, but it's good to be fed work and just be able to get it out. Over.
Roger that. Hey, Keith, real quick, and then I'm going to have to go. Out of those talk groups you sent me, I haven't heard anybody on them. What, you know, can you give me some advice on that?
Really, I've got SE Upstate in as a static. There's not usually anybody on it unless, like, Stacy in 40EQ down in Anderson. Him and I will get on it every now and then. And there's a fellow that from Columbia that if he hears us on, he'll jump in there and, you know, start a round table with us. But, yeah, if I have mine on here, with it being static, if you key up and you know, throw out your call, I'll probably hear it.
Roger that. Well, you gentlemen have a good evening. I'm going to have to say 7-3s. I'm pulled up in the driveway, and I'm getting a look out the window. So it's good to talk to both of you, Keith. Good to talk to you again for sure. And, Shane, you be careful the rest of your evening and on your way home. KO4 HKX, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3, guys.
Enjoyed it as always. Go ahead, Keith.
Patrick, good hearing from you. We'll catch you again around here. Probably be this time of night because of long hours. So have a good evening. We'll catch you later. KN4CHY. Go ahead, Shane.
I'm home, so I had a pretty good day today. It's still daylight when I'm going to be pulling in the driveway.
I was wondering if you'd headed to the house yet. I heard you earlier when I was warming up chicken livers that you was on your last run and then headed that way. I wasn't sure if you'd actually got motivated that towards the house or not.
I'm not far. Maybe about 3 miles, 4 miles, something like that. And, man, it's beautiful, beautiful evening out here. And, boy, talking about chicken livers again, I'm going to have to go home and eat dinner before I take a shower. I'm so hungry. N4ZLK.
Roger that. Yeah, I've heard the comments about the sandwich. I wasn't here for the joke, but, yeah, it sounds like that's the topic of the evening, apparently.
AA3JCA broke it, or was in here around 5 o'clock or 5:30. And said he and Sally were going to have some egg salad sandwiches. And, man, I haven't had them in a while. My mouth started watering. It sounded so good.
Roger that. Yeah, I hadn't done a good egg salad. I had a bad thing for egg salad because I made the mistake of getting one out of a vending machine one time. And so I shied away from them for a long time. We'll still not go towards the one in a vending
machine. You did have a bad experience from a vending machine. I didn't know they sold egg salad in a vending machine.
I tell you, there should be a law. I'm surprised there's not.
If it has a refrigerated one, it might be okay, but you still have to change them out every day. That stuff doesn't last very long.
This is one of the refrigerated, you know, carousel type machines. But that ruined them for a while for me. Like I said, I'll still eat one every now and then, but it's got to be made at the house. Too many things in there have a short shelf life. Over.
There's probably a lot of things in there that they added to try to make it last longer.
Exactly, and you kind of wonder how that, you know, goes against the intended effect. I had a Mater sandwich the other day that was really good, that I hadn't had one of those in a long time. Just, you know, sliced tomatoes and salt, pepper, and mayonnaise. And, oh, goodness.
One of my favorites, and I love tomatoes and cottage cheese. My father-in-law turned me onto that. I always liked cottage cheese. I never dreamed about putting tomatoes into it, but boy, that's a treat right there.
Four C H Y. Yeah, my wife does cottage cheese from time to time, but yeah, just never. Of course, she's in plain, so I guess that's what's not appealing to me. But talking some good ripe tomatoes, then I could probably get behind that.
He's eat a good homegrown tomato, that's for sure. Oh my goodness, but not from a vending machine though. They're not gonna do that.
Well, out of thing. That's good advice on tomatoes and egg salad sandwiches for sure.
Well, salad sandwich. we could come up with a lot of them.
Anything with a high mayo content, I guess. You know, chicken salad, tuna salad, any of those. I kind of don't even do factory mayo no more. I make my own.
To make some of that stuff at home. Oh, goodness, speaking of chicken salad, my wife makes some good chicken salad. That's one of our kids' favorite meal, and if we have a get-together and kind of for a special occasion, that's what they usually ask for is chicken salad. And, boy, I can't wait to get home and eat. I'm just getting really hungry here.
And with the chicken salad, I mean, it don't even have to be a sandwich. I could just sit there with a pack of saltine crackers and the bowl of chicken salad and go to town.
And that'll work as well.
After that, get rid of the middleman on the delivery, you pass that over.
I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed the reminiscing, except for the vending machine one. That one we'll have to put that one away. I hope you have a good evening. I'm not far, and enjoyed talking to you. I haven't heard you in a while. Like, I guess you said you're back in the office now.
In the office and been working long hours. Well, you know, instead of 8 to 5, it's more like 8 to 6:30 or 7 or so.
Hear you tonight, and hope you have a good evening. I'm going to go ahead and clear out of here. KN4CHY, N4ZLK.
Yep, good hearing you too. It's been a while, and we'll catch you again a little later. N4ZLK, KN4CHY, I'll be clear and listen.
CHY, N4DJC.
Good evening, Jerry.
Hope you're doing good, Keith. I just heard you and heard you and Shane carrying on a conversation there. Didn't want to interrupt. Just want to say hi to you. I don't hear you very often since you're getting the busy work done.
I was just telling Shane, it's you know, not super long hours, but longer than what I'm accustomed to, and it's in office. So, but we're plowing through it. Got a couple of new cohorts, and they've really stepped it up in the last couple of days. So that's been a big help too.
I understand that. I was thinking about you the other day. We stopped at the Texas Roadhouse one day last week, and I said, man, I said, I bet if Keith Yeah is here, I said, he'd probably try to rush on down here.
After that, yeah, we, well, I guess we've been to one since, last time we went to Savannah. I was thinking it was the one with the time we went to Anderson, but we did go to Savannah, and, my oldest brother met us down there and wanted to go over there. I was like, okay, let's go.
Arm twisting on this end easier to go. I really enjoyed it. Still, I think they went up a dollar on some of the stuff, but it's still really the best place to me. Well, to me, anyway, the best place in Anderson for a steak. Still a really good value.
I agree. There was a Logan's in Savannah too, and it was one of the. It was basically the first one there. And it was good for a while, and it just got to where it wasn't all that great. And then they finally opened up Texas Roadhouse, and have pretty much not looked back.
But they got Logan's here, but I'll be honest with you, I've never set foot in the place. It's convenient to me. I mean, I'm not but a couple of miles from it, I guess, but I've never been to it. I was a big Longhorn guy for a while, and I liked going there and tried out back a few times, and when I went back to Texas Roadhouse here, you know, a few months ago after we were talking about it sometime back, I said, you know, should be going here all along. They'll open up to 3 o'clock here during the week and 11:30 on Saturday and Sunday, but there's always a line getting in, even when they open up at 3 in the afternoon.
It was pretty crowded that afternoon we was over there. I think we had that conversation before on Longhorn. I used to really like Longhorn, too. We used to hit the one when we was there in Fountain Inn. We used to hit the one on Lawrence Road all the time. And it was always really good. They had some of the best fillets around at that time.
The fillets a lot. I was on the road all the time, and it was pretty reasonable then, but the last one I got there, oh gosh, maybe 6 or 7 months ago, it was really disappointing. It wasn't, it was, you know, about $21 or something like that, and it just wasn't, it didn't remind me of filet at all. It wasn't as tender than just the little standard sirloin or tri-tip or whatever it is. You know, the standard thing they serve at Roadhouse is.
It is disappointing. So, Jeff, for a long time, well, you know, they were the only ones like that around, well, close to us in Greenville back then. You know, you didn't have Logan's and Texas Roadhouse to choose from back then. But they, it really showed, too, you know, other than, you know, something like Ruth Chris. And that was always too expensive for us to go over there anyway.
I put on Ruth's Chris, and I've never set foot in one of those either. It's just too expensive for me. I just thought it can't be that much better than them. When I just don't eat that much food anymore, you know, eat much, that much when I go, it just felt seemed like it just, you know, like I said, there are some times when it's worth it. You know, some places are worth paying $40 for a good filet, but those days were just about behind me. By the way, I'm getting your, I picked up a FTM 300DR, and I'm getting your APRS beacons.
Nice. It's good to know it's getting out to somebody else other than the Digipeters and all. Yeah, I see Stacy come up every now and then on this one, too. Yeah, I've just got it set to beacon every 30 minutes, so it, you know, starts whenever I turn it on, and it'll go every 30 minutes after that. But yeah, the, you know, back to Longhorn, that's kind of hard to beat what they've got now. Now, I went to, one of the times we was in New York, we went to the strip house, and now it seemed like they were $45 or something like that. And they were good, but you just can't beat the service. The service was just fantastic. You had a whole team of people at the table. It wasn't just a waiter. It was a whole team.
If there's a place like that in Charlotte, can't remember the name of it now. I want to say it was Beef and Barrel. It was an old time steakhouse. It'd been there for years. And the service, they're kind of like a something from the 50s on the inside, like something you see in The Sopranos, but the service there was pretty impeccable, too. It was really good. And it wasn't terribly expensive, but it's been so many years ago, Keith, I don't know whether it may not even still be operating anymore or not. But, yeah, you pay for service. And like I said, you know, in a place like that, yeah, they had a place going to Vegas or somewhere like that where you, I mean, everything's expensive there, so you know, so you got to kind of pick which you like. But generally, the food in those places, they have to maintain a real high quality food and service in order to keep the customers in a place we got, you know, 6 million people.
You nailed it there. That's you know, the stuff was, all the sides were you know, like gourmet type stuff. They had a real chef in the back, and you know, stuff like goose fat potatoes, and man, I can't even remember all of it, but it was all so good. And you know, you're paying a price for it, but it's really good food, and you've got just a tremendous wait staff over it.
A seafood joint called the, I think it's called the Fish House or something like that, Fish Market in Charlotte, in one of the shopping centers up there. And we used to take customers there when I was in Springs, and we'd go there every once in a while with people we were customers of, and wife and I got, we'd go there maybe once a month or something like that. And had some guy come about with one of these little spatula-looking things. He'd scrape up the crumbs off the table, you know, and I mean, just somebody there at you all the time. But it wasn't terribly expensive in those days. Four people could easily eat for $100 then. That's been It's been 35 years ago. It's probably $100 a piece now, I guess.
And that's kind of the story of the strip house, too. They had the little crumb scrapers, and it got to be a joke because you get up to go to the restroom and put your napkin in your chair, and you come back, and one of the guys would stop by and grab the napkin, fold it back up, in the nice little duck shape or whatever, or swan shape, and set it back on your table.
My plant manager, he'd just drop something. He'd take a piece of bread crumb or something, just drop it, see how quickly they'd get over there to it, get it up on the table. It's almost like a game. They kept coming back. They never said a word, but he got a big kick out of it. But you don't see that kind of service, and I guess they had that kind of service in this year, but in Atlanta, I think the Morton's in Atlanta is supposed to be pretty good, but most of the time it's just individual-owned restaurants, not necessarily chains that do that. But the Chop House, my son-in-law told me the Chop House in Greenville is really good, but as I said, I just don't spend that kind of money on steaks anymore.
Over in that area when they built that thing, and I have never been over there. But yeah, I'm like you, with the like the strip house and places like that, you definitely gotta have the population to support that, and then you've got to be on top of your game to be able to compete in that kind of population too. So yeah, I think that definitely has a lot to do with it. And I don't know if you've ever been to a Fogo de Chao, Brazilian steakhouse. Now that's a pretty neat experience too.
Not too far from, he still has a blade. Still has a blade show in Atlanta once a year. Just a big deal with a knife show. They had one of those not too far from there. And I've eaten two different ones. I don't know whether it was the Fogo chain or whether it was another one. But I've eaten those a couple times. And man, I tell you one thing: you better have your eating britches on when you go in that place.
Sure. Yeah, I think. Excuse me. It seems like the one week that it was in D.C. But I've heard them. I listened to 97.1, the river out of, they say Atlanta. It's like Royston, I think, actually. But they call it like Atlanta's classic rock station. But the Fogo will advertise on there every now and then. And I've considered going back down there and doing that again. But yeah, you're right. I'd probably do without a meal the night before and go down there really hungry over.
But there's a couple of places in Atlanta that I really enjoy. I got another power supply, and I got one that now I got three feeds coming out of it, and I'm hoping it's not putting any whine or anything on the radio. I don't think it is. It doesn't seem to be very noisy on the FM side or anything like that, but I can't. I want to make sure it's not anything coming out over the transmission. I got it sitting real close to the radio just as a test. If you hear anything, let me know. This sounds odd. But, yeah, this is a really good place in Atlanta, not too far from Stone Mountain. I call it the 57th Fighter Squadron. It's over there near the airport, I guess, the DeKalb Airport. And, man, they used to have a really good brunch over there on Sundays and sometimes during the week too, but that is a great place to eat if you ever get out that way. It's kind of a ways out there. I don't remember if you have to go out to Georgia 400. I'm probably getting confused about which way it is, but you just take a right off 85 when you just before you get into downtown. This ways out to the airport out there. I think it's DeKalb Airport. I think that's right. But it's out there, and it is really good if you ever get a chance to go out there, if it's still open. I think COVID is a lot of places. COVID shut a lot of these smaller family-owned places down, I think, and some of them just never came back.
Roger that. There was a place in Baton Rouge, a pizza place that's been there ever since I can remember, and Florida Lee Pizza, and same thing happened to them. They announced they were shutting down, I guess, probably 6 months ago. In between the rising prices and hired help, they were done with it. Most all their folks is probably well up in age anyway, so they were probably overdue for retiring, but they just see the place go. But yeah, that's one thing I miss about being in a big city is the vast selection of food choices.
If we weren't going to Greenville on a fairly routine business, we just probably drive over there to eat most of the time. About the only things we do like to get sushi place over there, like Earshire and, of course, Sushi Hunt over there and Lost Cajun. That's, you know, three of our favorite places over there. But for most everything else, we can get most everything here in town. There's not a real good seafood place, I don't think. I mean, I've eaten several places, like the Hook and Silver Bay type places. Those are pretty good, but it's not like going to the beach or anything like that. You don't get that kind of Charleston. You don't get that kind of seafood.
Yes, that's what kind of ruined me is going down to Savannah and all. I don't even bother with seafood when I'm up here. I brought back some shrimp from down there at Labor Day that, you know, they were palm-sized shrimp. We had a low country boil, and we brought back probably 2 pounds of boiled shrimp. You know, from low country boil, a bunch of potatoes and sausage and everything. But we ate on that several days, and we'll probably be done with seafood for a while until we go back down there.
Nothing quite like getting fresh like that, and it's just, we used to have a guy that would come up here, and he'd just have his truck with a, you know, have everything iced down and bring it back, you know, direct from the coast, but I hadn't seen him around in a long time. He was an older gentleman. He'd have his truck, and he'd just, you know, sell out of his truck at one of the farmer's markets here in Anderson, but I hadn't seen him in years. I guess he stopped doing it. But, and we would see the same thing when we lived in Rock Hill. Rock Hill is a little bit closer, I guess, you know, than we are here. But we had a guy there to bring it back, and he'd bring back, you know, sell it to you around 2 pounds at a time. But you know, nothing like getting 4 or 5 pounds of fresh, you know, like a 6 or 7 counts or stuff like that, like little lobsters.
That's my oldest brother was kind of complaining about how big they were. I don't mind at all. They're not as tender as the little smaller ones, but you know, they weren't tough either, and it's a lot of meat on one shrimp, so I didn't have much problem with it at all eating them. And I was going to say something else about it too, and I can't remember where I was going with it. Yep, I completely lost it. Go ahead.
KN4CHY and 4DJC. You know, Keith, I think a lot of people don't know how to cook them. Most people cook shrimp way too much. Just, you know, it only takes a minute to cook them, and they don't realize they keep cooking after you pull them out of the water, out of boiling water. So I think most people just cook them. They either been frozen too long, you know, or you don't thaw them out right. But if they're fresh, you can cook them in less than a minute. Yeah, as soon as that paint, as soon as that paint starts to get out, it just put them out of that water right then.
You're exactly right. I think that is the problem most of the time. Yeah, we do those low country boils, and, you know, of course, get it rolling, and throw the taters in, let them go for a while, then come back and do the onions and let them go for a while, and throw the sausage in. Once everything's ready, you toss the shrimp in, put the lid back on it, or start around, put the lid back on it, let it come back, and it's about ready to go.
When I was working up there, most people want me to do the cooking. I don't know why. Maybe I was the soberest one of the bunch. Maybe I don't know, but they always had me do the cooking. I had a guy We go to the beach at least once a year. Is one of our talks. We go down there and I'd cook. We'll go down there, get everything fresh, and had a guy that he lives in Wilmington now. One of the guys in our group, he had a place standing at Holden Beach, and that guy knew how to lay everything out and knew when to put it in, and he taught me how to do that. And man, I tell you one thing, once you get the hang of it, it's not bad, but most people tuck it all in at the same time. You don't do that. Living in New Orleans, you don't do that sort of stuff. And there's a little bit of a trick to it, but once you know how to do it, it always turns out great. 4-2-3,
yep, that's it. Yeah, because all those things... don't cook at the same rate, that's for sure. And I remember what it was I was going to say. Talking about the guy that had them there. A co-worker told me about a fellow that's at this Heritage Farmers Market out here on 123. It's almost to Highway 11. And he was telling me that he's out there about every weekend. And then COVID hit, and so I haven't been out there since then, but I think they're finally cranking back up, so I'm probably going to see if he's still coming around.
Over. Any luck with him, he'll let me know. Like I said, I hadn't been out much here in Anderson. He would come in on the other end of town down here. He would come up just close to the interstate, and there was one little place where he used to sit out there. It's been several years ago that I hadn't seen him. I hadn't been out that way, really, to be frank. So he may still be doing it, but it's been some years back when he would have the farmer's market here in Anderson's, down there not too far from the courthouse on Murray Avenue, and he would come down there and sit out there sometimes. And other times he would park down near the... It used to be a pilot, I guess. It's not always a food line. It may not be open now either, but it was down on the end of town towards 28 bypass down that way, and he would park out there near that little ice place down where you could get bagged ice. And I had a guy there was crushing ice. It's been a while back too, of course. And he'd park down there, and people would come in with the coolers and get him. He usually come up on, I think he was coming up on, I want to say he was coming up on Fridays, but it might have been another day of the week, but it was right before the weekend is when he was parked out there.
And there's one, maybe two places in Savannah that we'll get stuff from like that, but I tell you, those guys on the side of the road in the trucks, most of them's got some of the best shrimp you'll find, and, it's mostly stuff that they went out and caught that day or the night before, and they're sitting out there with the mics down and ready to sell. And we've got a couple of regular ones we'll get there in Savannah. If they're not out there, then we've got a Southwest Seafood is pretty decent there, close to the house. If the guys aren't out in the trucks, then we'll use our backup of Southside. Over.
Ingles, sometimes Ingles has some pretty decent looking fresh shrimp here, but like I said, I don't know how fresh they are. But the guys with the trucks are always a little cheaper too. I think there's a place here in town now. I may be thinking about somewhere else. There's a place here in town now that they got a little place where you can get fresh seafood there, but it's like in a building or something like that. It's no telling how expensive the stuff is. I hadn't been in there, and I think, if I'm thinking correctly, I can't remember the name of it now, but it's kind of towards downtown on Main Street. But I have to check it out next time I head down that way to see what the name of that place is and see how expensive they are.
I hadn't really looked in any of the grocery stores. That's an idea, too, because I know they do periodically have some. We just have a Publix there in Savannah that, man, they amaze me with the quality of their seafood. They get in there. We actually have Kroger there that did pretty good, too. They have live lobster and stuff all the time. About every time I walk by there,
I'd look at the wife and tell her, look at the size of those crawfish.
Bucklers here I don't think they have anything actually fresh. I think it's been frozen, but I may be wrong. I'm not sure. I go by the seafood counter most of the time, and there's some guy in there he's from somewhere up in the northeast, and we were talking about Spanish, you know, about King mackerel and cooking Spanish mackerel and stuff like that. He said, I'm surprised somebody from here knows how to cook those things. I said, man, I used to love to catch them and eat those things. And, you know, stripers too. But you know, we got to cut all the stuff out of the striper. We can't eat too much of it. We'll blow in the dark.
After that, and, yeah, my wife had a gout problem for a while too. So, they told her to stay away from the seafood and the beer. So, that kind of curtailed a lot of our seafood eating down in Savannah.
We used to do a lot of oysters 2 years ago, but, one of the guys I work with, we were living up in Virginia then, I guess. One of the guys I work with up there, he quit his job, and he was from somewhere, I think he went to NC State, he was from somewhere around the coast, North Carolina coast, and next thing I knew, he called me up one day, it was years later, he said, I wonder where you were. I said, well, I've moved a couple of times. He said, yeah. I said, he was a shrimper. He went to the shrimp and oyster business full time.
That's the friends to have right there. Yeah, and that's something else I hadn't had in a long time, some good fresh oysters. But it's the same kind of thing, not being around the coast. I just don't even try anymore. But yeah, if I remember it, I might go over there and see if that guy's over there Saturday. He said he was there about every weekend, so I'll have to go over there and see if he's got some shrimp. If they look decent, I'll go ahead and five or 10 pounds and toss them up and put them in the freezer.
When they cook fresh like that, they keep better. And it's not like as long as you cook them first, I think they'd be fine. That's what we used to do. Yeah, this guy, he'd bring us up. He must have, I don't know if his family had some connections down there or not, but he'd bring a bushel of oysters, and then he's the one that showed me what he did there. We put them on a grill and just to open up and eat them that way. And I prefer them raw, but most of them like them steamed, and man, they're good steam. But Bimini's in Greenville, they do a good job too. They're on Tuesdays, just all day long. Tuesdays, oysters, they have price. And the last ones we got there, they were humongous.
That reminds me of a buddy of mine in high school. We go over to his place. His stepfather would have the grill set up, and he'd sit there and smoke oysters. And, he'd walk up, and he'd have the grill going, and we'd just smile and play. Hey, y'all want some oysters? Yeah, you know we do. And he'd lift the lid up, and he'd just reach in there and pull them right off the grate. And, oh, man, they were so good. And we'd sit there and our bait of them, that's for sure. We'd clear out a rack, and he'd put on another rack. We'd do that all afternoon. And of course, he was standing there drinking beer, and we'd drink with him every now and then. But that was some good stuff. He slapped you how to smoke an oyster on a grill.
Me hungry, and I've already had a sandwich. I love them like that. We hadn't done them that way 40 years or more, I guess, but man, it was really good when we did it. It was just, I don't have a gas, I just got charcoal, and I always like charcoal, had charcoal flavor, but we just put them on there, just like you said, there'd be six or seven couples there, and we just put one on right after the other, and somebody buy some of those little red hot weenies and put them in beer and have it sitting on the side of it, kind of steeping away, and man, that was a good combo.
And And I'm the same way. I hadn't done any in a long time. They make a mess of the grape, but man, they sure are good, that's for sure.
And if I don't mind scraping the grate off.
My problem is we just wouldn't take the time to do it because we just load up another rack. And, by the time it was all over with, it was, it'd take you a while to get it cleaned off, but man, that thing is good. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here for a little while and make a trip to the little boy's room and get settled in for the night. Good talking to you, Jerry, and we'll catch you again some other time, 73s, and we'll talk at you later, N4DJC, K4CHY.
Good talking to you, and glad you did okay. Didn't mean to hold you up there, but I want to give you a shout when I heard you on. And I hope things calm down over the next months or so. We can get back to normal life of some kind or another. You know. But enjoy talking with you. Take care, young man. 73, KN4CHY and 4DJC.